Get your smoke on, get your chill on. Let's get these conversations on. Calling all moms and anybody who's living life. The Pop Moms Podcast is here.
Ready, Freddy?
Oh, I'm ready, Freddy.
Here we are with our last rendition of the ABCs.
I know. I'm like low-key sad. I've been loving this journey, mostly because I've been learning so much too, which is maybe embarrassing, maybe important.
No, I mean, I think it really highlights that in our lives, it doesn't matter how ingrained in a topic you could be, there's always more to learn.
There's always more to learn.
And on that uplifting note, we're going to go ahead and do you.
Nailed it.
Which is uplifting. As you'll notice, we're at the end of the alphabet, and there's a lot of interesting letters at the end of the alphabet. And there's a lot of interesting letters with not. I feel like they really put their efforts, the proverbial they, into creating words with non-last five letters of the alphabet.
I know. I was thinking that we were going to have to stretch a little further than we maybe did. I think U is perhaps our, like, furthest reach with this concept of uplifting, which, define it for us.
It is the euphoric, easygoing feeling you get when you get a strain of cannabis that fits your needs. Read also helping strangers, smelling babies' heads, being in nature. Okay, maybe these are just a few for me. Nat, what are some of the things that make you feel uplifted?
My gosh, I am so uplifted by a glorious song.
Yeah.
Or, you know, literally any animal anywhere, strangers, dogs, or otherwise. My own dog, obviously, too. I mean, I would go so far as to say even rodents make me feel uplifted. Just the sight of, you know, nature, as you mentioned.
The resilience of rats, right? That's something that's uplifting. I'll never forget one time I was in Seattle and, like, I've lived in other cities. I've seen, you know, obviously the things that come with living in larger cities. But when I saw, like, a rat tugging a shoe by a shoelace across the street in SLU, I was like, what the fuck is this?
That's so funny. You know, my sister has rats in Ballard, too, but I've never really experienced them anywhere I've lived in Seattle. Even when we were downtown, I feel like I didn't see rats the way that I thought we might. I don't know.
I see rats all the time now.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't know if it's because of, like, where my house is located to where the light rail is going in Seattle.
Oh.
But, yeah, lots of rats.
Super uplifting chat about rats, guys. Yeah. Here we are.
You know you're here with us because of our tangents.
Exactly right. But let's tell you about some uplifting strains, perhaps. Now, caveat. As always, I feel like all weed impacts other people differently, and I personally have probably never been cognizant enough about how each strain that I consume has impacted me, and sometimes I don't even know what strain I've been consuming, so there's that. But I really associate sweet, fruity cannabis with an uplifting vibe, which may or may not be factually accurate, but, like, I think about, like, the tangerine and tangerine adjacents, and those always make me feel uplifted, perhaps even just by their scent.
Yeah, and that's a really good point that you're bringing up. So not only does weed affect people differently, the way you want to feel uplifted is different from person to person. Obviously, yeah. We went through a couple of the things that makes me feel uplifted. Same with Natalie. And you have to first define what makes you feel uplifted and then just chase that.
Oh my gosh, yeah, the chasing of the dragon. I, like, immediately also think about deep conversation with a good friend. Like, yeah. That makes me feel so uplifted and recharged. And ultimately, I like to have those deep conversations over some weed.
Yeah. It just, you know, free flowing, really.
Yeah. Okay, well.
So, get out there, define what uplifting means for yourself, and, you know, maybe start thinking about how some of those strains can make you feel. Just to kind of, I guess, give a jumping off point, for me, one of my favorite strains for uplifting, or for feeling uplifted, is Narnia by Soulshine. I also really, really enjoy Lion's Mane? No, I'm going to get it wrong.
It's a mushroom.
But that also, oh, that is good. That is
can
good.
Make you feel uplifted. It functional totally mushrooms, can. Certainly.
So I'll get back to you on what that lion strain is. Golden Lion, sorry. I knew it would come to me.
Oh, that sounds uplifting.
Right, I know.
I think even Soulshine as a brand sounds uplifting.
Yeah.
Guys, there is so much you can be uplifted by. Let me tell you
words.
Just words.
Just seeing words. I mean, honestly, a really well thought out color palette is very pleasing to me.
Wow.
Really good fonts.
I know. I mean, a colorful water bottle even. I'm just noticing.
Oh, don't even get me started on water bottles.
I know. Oh,
how do they bring us such joy?
You know, speaking of tangents, I have two different water vessels over here, one of which is one of these new Stanley tumblers that I snarfed from my mom's house this weekend. And I was so excited about it. I was like, oh, mom, you probably don't use this. I'm keeping it. She was like, absolutely not. You're not keeping it. This is a $70 cup. I was like, what is it? Like, who knew? Was yours also that?
This one? Oh, yeah. No. One of my friends gave this to me. And I actually only exclusively shop Stanley product on Amazon when it's at, like, reduced pricing.
Okay,
because the thought of spending $70 on a water bottle is not...
Yeah.
I don't know.
That feels insane. If you have a link to an amazing insulated cup that Natalie needs in her life, please email us, popmomspodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, I love that. Anyways, all right.
You'll be uplifted by hydration, too, guys. Check that out.
It's true. I really hate to say it. The more water I drink, the happier I get.
Preach.
All right, moving straight along to V. V
vape.
Is for vape or vaping. Yes. I mean, and this is honestly one of our more familiar terms for most, but it is cannabis flower and or oil and or concentrate that can be consumed through vaporization.
Yeah, and vaping is often thought of as a healthier alternative to smoking, which I can attest, I feel it more when I smoke with combustion-based methods, aka joints, smoking, blunts, whatever, bowls, even pipes, etc. Anything with fire. And that is because it's heated at a higher temperature. So when you're vaping cannabis, you're usually in the range of 356 to 392 degrees. When you are smoking with combustion methods, you're up to about 450 degrees. So those lower temps preserve the cannabinoids, they preserve the terpenes. As we know, terpenes are where you find these medicinal properties, health benefits to cannabis. And with combustion methods, you're creating pretty harmful byproducts, carbon monoxide, tar, ash, all of these things that, while certainly have not been studied enough when it comes to cannabis, we know from tobacco, cigarette smoking, whatever, like these things can be precursors to lung cancer. So theoretically, vaping is a more healthy method of consumption. And I personally almost exclusively vape nowadays. So I use an AeroPro pen, which come with cartridges, also AeroPro brand cartridges. It is concentrate. You can also vape actual plant product, of course, and that would be like your volcanoes. Is that even healthier than concentrate vaping?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so
the dry herb vaping is, again, reported to be the healthiest way to consume. I will say, though, interesting, so I don't vape a lot. I am more either smoking bongs or joints. Yeah. And whenever, so like when we, if we travel somewhere where it's slightly frowned upon for vaping,
or cannabis, by the police,
I won't stop doing it, but I'll do it in a more discreet way. But what I've noticed is that I actually get a sore throat from it. And I don't know if it's because it just isn't my normal smoking routine or what it is, but whenever I vape for too long, I'm like, ugh, I can't wait to get back to it because I get like a dry, sore throat from it.
That is interesting, and I wonder if that is our conditioning, because I feel a little bit of the opposite, actually. Like and to be fair, I think that when I vape other people's pens and like other cartridges, I feel it comparatively to these AeroPros. Like I might have
to get one of those then.
I know. I am just attached to this specific brand, mostly also just because of the convenience that it, like, I've never had any issues with them other than my own stupid human error of throwing my pen in the wash. The pens never break. I've never had, knock on wood, I haven't had a bad cartridge in months, you know, or years even, right? So
AeroPro, feel free to sponsor us for any of this pre-press.
I was going to say,
really awesome.
Yeah.
Snaps in your direction.
I know. AeroPro, if you're listening, help me. Send me your goods. But anyways, vaping, generally accepted as the most healthy method of consumption, or of smoking consumption, perhaps, because could people make an argument that edibles are maybe less impacting your health?
Probably from a lung perspective. Well, certainly. But vaping is quicker than edibles too, which think, like, if you think about it holistically, you've got your health, but then you also have the experience of it, right? And like we've talked in the past how edibles do take some time and it can lead to overdosing. Maybe you feel a little bit spacey for a little bit. So vaping is an option that's quicker than edibles. And then, you know, by proxy, maybe a little bit easier for people who are looking to just try the plant. It's also portable. You can bring it with you anywhere.
Yeah.
And honestly, my favorite is that you can sneak it into places.
Exactly right. I know. Like, if you're
But, like, I immediately think of a movie theater where you just, like, hit the pen and then blow it out at the ground. Or, like, a restaurant.
Or
like,
into your sleeve.
Yeah, like, blow it under the table. I mean, oh, I'm cringing that my mom is going to listen to this. You know, it's happened, okay? I am who I am.
And owning that is the best thing you can do for yourself.
Liberation. Liberate me, honesty. Let's go.
Okay, we are heading straight into W. So W is Wook.
Oh my gosh. I saw this term as an option and I latched onto it mostly because the origins of it, I did not know for so many, I mean, months, if not years of using this term back in college. And as you may know, if we have any Star Wars fans out here, a Wook is the alien species of Chewbacca.
For short for Wookiee, exactly. Yeah. It's a reference to Chewbacca's alien species in Star Wars. It's also a culture term for cannabis if you have very high THC tolerance or if, like, you're a super cannabis culture person. So, like, if you have leggings with weed on them or, like, you always have a grateful... I think of, like, in high school, stereotypically, Wook for my, I guess, my high school experience would have been corduroys.
Yeah.
Which then you just turned into shorts in the summer. Oh my gosh,
yeah.
And then a tie-dye, Grateful Dead, Widespread Panic, Dave Matthews, I mean, any Fish, any band like that. It's also specifically, you know, if we're thinking about Wookiee characteristics, being tall, male, especially hairy or unkempt.
Especially hairy.
Like, yeah,
more picture so than... Picture Chewbacca, but a person. And no, but I mean, I never even thought of it in relation to weed as much as, like, the festival lot, right? Like, the people who are really in the culture of live music, partying, bathing less often than they might be able to.
Which, you know? I read that as part of the description, and I was like, oh my god, that's not true. And as I'm like, yeah, I really need a shower today. So, oh like, gosh. It's true. I'm kind of, like, a female Wook, but,
I was gonna say
a little bit less... I mean, I'm less unkempt. No, I'm still unkempt. I'm just approachable.
You're an approachable Wook? Oh my god, hilarious. Well, and I think about my Wook days, like, when I used to see a shit ton of Widespread Panic and lots of live music in general.
Did you ever have dreads?
Well, I was, where I'm going with this story is I used to wear a backwards hat all the time, and after shows, I would get this, like, matted unidreadlock underneath where my hat was that we would call affectionately the beaver tail. It was foul. Foul, guys. I am a princess.
That's amazing. The beaver tail.
Yeah, it was wild. But, you know, everybody has to go through their Wook chapter to decide whether or not they want to come out on the other end.
Okay, but so here's my thing. So I had dreadlocks. Like, I 100% did.
Yes,
incredible. And then I kept my one. I kept it in a drawer. My last one.
Were you with Mike when you had dreadlocks? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. This was pre-Mike. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Your Wook era was previous.
But, like, you know, when you would... You'd have a tie-dye shirt on, and then you'd go to Goodwill, and you would just get any pattern maxi skirt, right? Yeah. And it was like,
That was the vibe.
Well, and it also had a matching top to some old lady who donated it, like, probably upon her death of, like, 80-plus years. Like, I mean, like, this was just, like, the ensemble was hilarious. And then a pair of Boston Birkenstocks.
Amazing.
But what I love the most is, like, my mom still buys me gifts as if this is my aesthetic. So, like, she'll buy me, like, a macrame purse, and that's fine and awesome, but, like, what I'm wearing right now. Or, like, she'll try to get me some, like, hand, you know, and I'm like, no, like, incredible. It's just not me. Or, like, a really crazy pattern maxi skirt, which is, like, very much not at all
not your vibe style. Anymore. Okay, that is interesting. This reminds me of something I read the other day that I am not saying this is your situation with your mother, but it was very profound in that it said... People choose to remember you and define you by the version of you they held the most power over.
Oh, I'm sure that that's what it
Which
is.
Which was very interesting. And I think that, like, perhaps makes a lot of people have some red or, you know, light bulb moments with how their parents categorize them, how their parents treat them. Even as you move into this new phase of life where you're an adult and you're fully functional and whatever, your parents maybe often remember you as
the person they wouldn't let go to Bonnaroo, even though they bought tickets on their own all by themselves and had everything worked out for from a ride, from a travel perspective. Yeah, no big deal. Totally may or may not be that, you know.
Wow, may or may not be holding that in a little bit.
It is really funny, though, because there's certain things where, like, and I feel like, and maybe it's an ADHD thing, where, like, people learn one thing about you and then that's all. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
what they
define you by, happened to mention in passing one time that I like frogs. I received gifts of frog-related things for the next 10 years.
Yeah, you can't.
Talk about not wanting to talk about things you're interested in.
I was like, you cannot tell people you're into an animal, because then you become that, you're the frog girl now.
Yeah,
you're totally the frog girl with the macrame purse, and that's
exactly.
Just you.
It is.
I can't. I love that you had dreadlocks. We need a photo. Hopefully we can post one with this episode.
Ribbit. Oh my god.
Wow. Well, Wook went on a journey with us.
Oh, we also have to give an honorable mention to weed.
Obviously.
The word weed. And we did some recon into the word weed and how it became popular, and it was first about in the 30s, which, you know, is a really long time ago, but it kind of was done, take it away.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, weed was actually referenced as early as the 1300s or 1400s to describe unfavorable plants. And I was like, hey, let's rebrand. I love that maybe marijuana can be the rebrand for that term, because Right. Hello, favorable plant. But yeah, it's a, you know, it's been around. And now I think people have all sorts of terms for it, but it's stuck in there more than any other term, basically.
But
like
I
marijuana.
Think, but like with the whole idea of calling it weed and having it be an unfavorable plant, it was because horses and cows would eat it and then get a little crazy.
Ah, the livestock showed them the way.
All right, X is for xanthophyll.
Xanthophyll.
So this describes what happens when your cannabis plants lack chlorophyll and develop a nutrient deficiency. The clearest indicator of this is when the leaves turn yellow.
Yeah. And the origin of the word, which I just find interesting because I love a Latin root moment, is the Greek xanthos, meaning yellow, and phylon, meaning leaf. So they were first discovered in the leaves of plants, obviously. These are carotenoids, which are the pigments that give plants their color, right? They're yellow, orange, and red colors specifically.
Like carrots.
Yeah, like carrots. They're also, they are involved in an important number of functions in plants and animals and as well. Anyways.
I love that.
They protect plants from damage caused by excessive sunlight, as we know. Also important.
Yeah.
You know, many, many purposes.
Well, and I think, too, it's interesting for me to learn more about this word, because that's something that with us growing in our backyard that happened. Like, have to kind of look at the leaves. You have to see when you start seeing things yellowing, and you can say, is it a lack of water? Is it maybe a nutrient off balance? And then you supplement with, in this case, if your leaves get too yellow, you want to go ahead and balance it with more chlorophyll. So you want to add chlorophyll back in. So it's interesting to me to understand better those things when you're growing it, because as we lead into our next word, for why?
Your yield.
Yield. Oh my God. We're so close to ending and I'm sad. Just kidding. Let's do why. So why is for, actually it's not yield. It's for why are you not smoking right now? Just kidding.
Yeah.
Why is actually for yield. That's where we wanted to go with it. And what yield means is it's the amount that you get from a crop of cannabis plants.
Yeah, so how much your plant yields is how much weed you get.
And so interestingly, like it, I would say the number one indicator of yield or the number one impactor is environmental.
Yeah.
Because like, so for example, I think we've done this for the last 4 years. And we've had various amounts. It depends, you know, if we have a wet September, October, that can create mildew situations. And then the harvest, I mean, that can impact, because if you have any mold, you have to immediately get rid of it before it spreads.
Yeah. Do you have you had seasons where you just get nothing? And it's
no, luckily not. No, luckily we haven't gotten nothing ever, but there's definitely like we've had to harvest early. We've had to harvest on very short notice. I don't know if you remember a couple years ago when we had the fires.
Oh my gosh.
That was really bad, because then you're getting all of that. Like that's what the cannabis plant is exposed to.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, environmentally.
So smoke can be bad for your plants, yeah, too. Yeah,
exactly.
Bad for your lungs and your plants' lungs.
But one thing that was interesting with that is, you know, obviously with the ash falling in it, too. Because when there are fires here, the ash kind of settles all over everything. So, I mean, we've had to construct last-minute structures to cover the plants. We have, like, rigged up fans so that we can keep it dry and we can keep the plants moving so that the air moves through them. I mean, there's a lot that goes into a yield. Also, the spacing that you have. Like, we have three plants that I think maybe next year we'll do two and two in different ways because it'll allow it. You get more yield if you give it more space to get that big.
Yeah.
So right now, like, we're in the part where we're trimming the bigger fan leaves off, which, oh my gosh, I got one that's, like, as big as your computer screen.
Incredible.
I mean, it's really wild. But whoa. Kind of on that whole topic of yield, the process of harvesting a yield of cannabis. So initially, you know, you go ahead and you trim it. So, like, you cut the plant down and then you have to hang it. You have to hang it upside down and dry it. And then once it's dried, you can take the buds off and you actually put it in, like, an herb dryer. Mm. And then what we do is then we put it into glass containers once it's dry, and we trim them, and then you have to actually burp them or let the excess air out. And then that's when we do, like, a final trim and get any of, like, the little leaves off that you don't want in as many stems as possible, too.
And then you are left with a bunch of jars of weed for us to roll into joints on our next live.
Exactly.
We gotta do that.
Yeah, that'll be perfect because it'll kill lots of birds with only just one stone.
Exactly right. So Godspeed on your yield this year. Very excited for you. Yeah,
we'll definitely have some updates and you'll be flush with weed should you desire it.
Don't threaten me with a good time. Now, our finale letter.
Oh, my God. Oh,
Z is for three different terms we came up with. And let's start.
Maybe because we just don't want to finish this.
We don't want this to be over. Don't worry. We'll have other, like, educational series in the mix. But Z today is for zooted.
Or zoot. And it's kind of just like being really high. You'd be like, oh, my God, I'm so zooted.
So zooted. Yeah, modern term for being stoned, being high.
Have you made up words while you've been stoned that you use then, like, in normal times?
I'm sure, but can I remember them? Who could say, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Probably. I'm sure there's many a moments. I sometimes think about that. Like, all of the experiences and laughs, inside jokes that you just, like, move through in your life and you know, there is reason to journal, perhaps, so that you can remember all that shit.
Write down your own glossary.
My own glossary of stoned terms. But yeah, Z is for zooted, and that's, you know, pretty commonly used. I feel like a lot of people say that.
Yeah.
I never really did, though. I don't know. I was always just a I'm high kind of gal.
Yeah. I think I'm not cool enough to be say zooted.
That's vibey. Speaking of cool, another Z term we learned about today.
Oh my God, where did you learn your transitions?
Wow, we learned about this Gen Z term, Zaza. Now, if we have any Gen Z listeners out there, you let us know if you use this term. I had never heard it because I'm a boomer smoking reefer, apparently. But
a boomer at heart?
Yeah, totally.
But not politically or socially. So it's a term that describes exotic strains of weed, which I think Zaza sounds
fancy.
Exotic.
Yeah. You're like, ooh, let me check out that Zaza you've got over there.
I want that Zaza. Give me something Zaza.
Yeah. I have to ask the next young, hip weed smokers we talk to if they have any Zaza on them.
I'm going to try it the next time I go in and I'll report back.
They're going to be like, what's that, you creep?
Yeah, pretty much. But they know me, so they'll know it's bad. Coming from a creepy place.
There you go.
The last Z word that we're going to leave you with is with an esteemed user-submitted request, which
we have
been talking about and asking for somewhat regularly. Regularly, yes.
I know. So shout out to Marcus for submitting Zoinks.
Zoinks. We got it in there. Zoinks is a word that Shaggy from Scooby-Doo uses constantly when he's surprised.
Our favorite childhood stoner.
Yeah.
Well, he's 17, I guess, technically. I Googled it.
But we were younger when it was going on. I mean, and that didn't inhibit his ability to be useful to the gang when they needed help solving mysteries.
Oh my gosh, crime busting stoner. I love
this. Every crew needs a stoner.
Exactly right. We just think of things differently, you
know? It's true.
Big picture people. And we eat the snacks.
Exactly. I was going to say one of his also largest characteristics is eating Scooby snacks in the back of a van, which is oh so relatable.
I just love that he used to come out of the van with like clouds of smoke, yeah. and it's just, you know, totally fine in this cartoon. No,
no
big
one
deal.
Said boo.
No one said boo, except the ghosts.
Yes.
In the
oh,
show.
Oh, oh, that was so wow. good. I feel like we just have to end it on that. I have no more commentary that can
no more
supersede the organicness of that comment.
Incredible. Well, if you guys have any terminology that you're curious about, any concepts that these episodes brought up, let us know. You know, we... as we mentioned, are also learning alongside you. There is so much to learn about this substance, this plant, this medicine, and I personally want to learn more. So we're going to keep up this educational angle here on some future upcoming episode series.
I love that. No, and that's also a really, I mean, you were just killing those transitions today. You know, when we were going through what these terms were, in a lot of cases, it was hard to pick just one. And so what we kind of jotted down and created ideas for future series about is like, let's do one specifically on CBD. Let's do one specifically on THC. Let's talk about our cannabinoid system. Let's talk about terpenes. Let's talk about the differences. Let's talk about how they relate to other things in nature. So much more.
The cannabinoid system in particular is so fascinating because I think in discussing the way in which your cannabinoid system regulates basically everything in your body, how cannabinoids are present in these various plants that we consume, including cannabis, obviously, and the discussion of that intermixing, if you will, for lack of a better word, whatever, is so important in this destigmatizing effort, which is like our overarching goal always, right? Our underlying theme, whatever. So let us know if any of those things tickle you. If you have questions, we want to do a deep dive into all of this stuff and take you alongside us. So email us, popmomspodcast@gmail.com, or DM us at popmomspodcast.
And we'll talk soon.
We'll talk soon. We miss you already. Have a great day.
Bye.